We're commencing a new section today in what is, if my counting is correct, our 28th study in this epistle, Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to read three verses together, beginning at the verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." May the Lord bless our meditation upon His Word. The verses 11 through to 13 commence the second part of this chapter. You'll notice the little word "wherefore" at the beginning of the verse 11. That's a word that indicates a slight change of direction. It's a word that tells us that Paul is about to draw conclusions from what he had already set before them. Having said what he did in the first 10 verses, he stands back and he starts to point out particular matters within those statements that he would have them consider particularly. Wherefore? Wherefore? In the light of what I have just said. That's what the word is referring to. Oh, that we might read God's Word, men and women, in that way, paying particular heed and watching as to how the sentences are built together and the thoughts are running in the direction that the speaker or writer is taking us in, so that, like someone in a vehicle being given a commentary by a guide, as we look out through the windows of the vehicle at the passing countryside, we have things pointed out to us that we otherwise wouldn't really notice. Well, Paul, our spiritual guide here, is pointing out things that perhaps we otherwise would not have noticed in the words that he has already spoken. That's what he's doing. He's already set before us what we were, or what the Ephesians were, and of course we stand exactly in the same state as they before their conversion. And so we can take these words to refer to ourselves, and we ought to do that. That's why God has given us the Bible, that we might apply the words of it to ourselves. So Paul has pointed out to us, even as he points out to the Ephesians, the state we were in before we were saved. And that's something we should ever have before our minds. Now, you'll see how in this verse 11, what it is, the first thing that Paul is interested in pressing upon them. Wherefore, remember. Wherefore, remember. Remembering our former state is an absolutely essential exercise for the child of God. We must never forget. There are many ways in which we can say we must put behind us how we used to live. We must get as far away from it as possible. That's true. That's true. We must put away from us the habits, the manner of life that we followed before we were converted. We must put them away from us. And yet, we must never forget what we wear. Must never forget what we wear. You know, when you do forget, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but the thought occurs to me, when you do forget what you used to be, you don't notice yourself becoming like that again. Ladies go to the wardrobe and they look over the contents of it. And they may well reach in and take out a garment and be excited by the sight of it if they have forgotten that they've been wearing it for X number of years. But if they're conscious of the fact, oh, I've worn that before, well, then they don't meet it with such rapture, but rather plan, I'm sure, to replace it with something new. The point is this. If we keep before us how we lived, how we acted, how we thought, how we talked before we were converted, then we'll notice if there's any tendency to return to that. But when Christians forget what they used to be, they don't notice that they're beginning to return to those old ways. They don't notice these old habits reforming. It's essential, I tell you, that we remember our former state. Let me say this, just developing the thought, how quickly we forget God's merciful dealings with us. Paul's urging upon a people here who were not that long saved. But he's urging upon them, now don't you forget what you used to be. Because Paul was well aware, as a doctor of the heart, and well informed of the ways of the human heart, Paul knew of the tendency to forget. If you look at James, you have familiar words that are very applicable to us in these circumstances. James chapter 1. And the verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God can hold up the mirror of His Word and show us what we are. Startle us by that image. But if we're foolish, within minutes we'll have forgotten what it was God showed us. If you're a hearer only, that's what you do. You may even tell others of what God has shown you about yourself. And within a short time, you've forgotten. And you're acting as if you never saw what God showed you. Christian, that's a tendency with us. That's a flaw in our character. And that's why it's essential for our spiritual well-being that we strive to keep before our minds what we used to be, what we used to be. We're not inclined to retain spiritual impressions. There's not one of you here but can remember books you read as children. You adults. Things you did as children. Places you went as children. But you know well that when it comes to lunchtime and you go home from this service, if someone were to ask you, what were the verses preached on? You'd be at a loss to bring to mind the verses that were dealt with. Why is it that we're so slow to take a spiritual impression? Well, that's just how we are, men and women. We can have the sermon pressed upon our minds, but within a short time the impression has filled out again and it's as if we were never touched. Well, now you're going to have to work at it, and so am I. Because God here tells us through His Word that we're to remember. Israel's circumstances in Egypt were particularly terrible. If you look at Exodus, the chapter 2, there's a summary at the end of this chapter of what Israel had been going through for a long time. I don't think that it was always a place of misery, but gradually it became a place of misery until for the final generation of the Israelites born in Egypt. They were in the most abject misery. Slaves suffering terribly. And in the verse 23 of Exodus chapter 2, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them. Look at those words that are used here by the Holy Ghost. They sighed. Life was full of sadness for them. And they went around with a heavy heart. There wasn't any bright sun of hope on their horizon. There was a great heaviness and sorrow. They sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried. There's a cry went up. And God, it is said in verse 24, heard their groaning. Those three words indicate very clearly that life was most terrible for the poor Israelite. Then God, as you know, wrought a wonderful deliverance and turned around their captivity and brought them out. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of thy people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." There again, there's a multiplying of the words used to describe the misery of Israel. Would they ever forget it? Yes, they would. Yes, they would. If you turn to Exodus chapter 16, and they took their journey from Elam, And all the congregation of the children of Israel, this is verse 1 of chapter 16, came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's 1 month after God took them out of Egypt. 1 month. And they've forgotten Egypt. Their memory of Egypt was that they ate bread to the full. Life was good compared to what it was here under Moses. They'd forgotten Egypt. Nothing will engender a spirit of complaining like a forgetting of the condition we were in before God saved us. Men and women, there are many benefits to be gained just by remembering. It'll keep you from complaining. It'll keep you happy. It'll keep you glad. It'll keep you thankful. Oh, yes. God's people quickly forget. In the New Testament, we have examples of it too. In Galatians, the chapter 1. Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. That was a large area in that part of the world that is today Turkey. And there were many Christian churches there. Nothing there now. Very much anyway. Although I have to say I got an email from somebody in Turkey the other day. A Presbyterian congregation. I'm going to try and follow it up. I don't know who they are or who they are. You get so much stuff over the email, you know, that you have to be careful. I've had more boys saying, please send me your bank details because I have £1.5 million and I don't know what to do with it. And I was thinking of you and I thought I'd send it to you. Now, even I know that there's not boys running around the world with that sort of a disposition. That there's some sort of a fraud about to be executed. So we just dump those sort of things. But Paul's writing to these churches in Galatia. And he says, reminding them of the gospel in verse 4, who gave himself, the Lord Jesus, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. That's why he was writing. He says, you've gone away from the Lord already. So soon. You've set aside the gospel and you have embraced a perversion of the gospel. Oh, men and women, how quickly we forget God's merciful, gracious dealings with us. This very church at Ephesus, despite what Paul here says, did the same. For in the book of Revelation, in the chapter 2 and the verse 4, the Lord Jesus directly writes to them by the hand of John, and he says, ye have left your first love. And those who received the letter from Paul here that we are studying would have been still alive, or at least many of them would still have been alive when the letter came by John from the Lord Jesus. So despite what they had experienced, and despite Paul's warning not to forget, they forgot. Now, will you take it on board? Will you say right now in your heart, I have a tendency to forget that if God doesn't help me, I will forget what He has done for me. And will you mourn over that wickedness? Now, such forgetfulness leads to great sin. Forgetfulness generally is rather an innocuous thing. It doesn't amount to much on many things. On the other hand, there are times when we forget some little matter and it leads on to great difficulties. There's things that if we forget, they bring great complications into our lives. Well, let me tell you, this is the worst form of all forgetfulness. This forgetfulness will lead into great sin. It's the very seedbed of rebellion. I tell you, if you see a forgetfulness developing in your child, then tremble for them. For it's going to lead on to trouble of the worst sort. If you see forgetfulness in yourself, be alarmed. For it will, I don't care what you may think, it will lead on to great trouble. Remember, forgetfulness is what fills hell. For in Psalm 9 and the verse 17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God. My dear friend, when you forget that God has appointed that you meet with Him on certain occasions, that you read His Word on certain occasions, when you forget that and replace it with something else, you're on dangerous ground. You are. You are indeed. Forgetfulness is the basis of apostasy. What happened to Presbyterian Church? What happened to Methodist Church? What happened to the Church of Ireland? They forgot. That's all. That's where it all started. They forgot. And we'll go the same way if we forget. We'll go the same way if we forget. In Romans, chapter 1, the verse 28, Romans chapter 1, of course, details very clearly the great apostasy of the nations in the early ages of this world. And in verse 28 it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, etc., etc., etc. How did it all happen? How did they descend into this morass? They forgot. They forgot. They did not retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to. I think it right to say that there are certain things we won't forget. They take such a hold upon our minds and upon our thoughts that we won't forget it. It's things that do not create such a deep impression upon us that we forget. That's why we feel bad when we forget something. When you forget somebody's birthday. I avoid that. By never thinking of anybody's birthday. But if you start out saying, I must remember birthdays, well then sooner or later you're going to forget one, and what does it say? Oh, there's a glum look on the face of the person you've forgotten. He doesn't think much of me. He remembered him, and he didn't think of me, but... Well, there's an element of truth there. Because when you do forget, it's because that matter did not have a deep impression upon you. And when you read here of the nations not wanting to retain God in their knowledge, it shows they didn't care about Him. No interest in Him. And so they just forgot God, and the thoughts of God drifted off and disappeared into the mist, as it were. And soon they were living without a thought of God. Is that how you're living? Oh no, you say. Are you sure? Has that tendency not begun in your life? I think that there's not one of us here but would have to own up to an element of this forgetfulness. I tell you, it leads on to great sin. Leads on to great sin. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God. And then what God has to say after that indicates what happens when you forget the Lord. And walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. I tell you, it's a serious sin, this forgetting of God. That's why Paul is bent here on keeping before the minds of the Ephesians these great truths. Wherefore remember, he says. Because forgetfulness is a serious sin. Aye, Israel could forget God, and as soon as they do, they begin to walk after other gods. They begin to walk after other gods. That's happened. That's happening in our land. It's happening in our denomination. As many as a man serves another god when it comes to the prayer meeting night. Many as a woman too. They have another god. They have another shrine to turn up at. Something more important than God. And something that is more important than the Lord is another god. It's another god. And when you forget the Lord, what He's done for you, well then you will begin to follow after and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them. See how it gradually increases? Walk after, serve, worship. And then God says you'll perish. Because my judgment... You know, God never forgets. God never forgets. And He will deal with those who walk away from Him. We could look at 2 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, there is the routine of the Christian set before us. Verse 4, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. And you see a Christian who's not going on. They're not adding to the grace they already have. They're not growing in grace. When you see that happening, it doesn't matter what circumstances are in their lives, it comes down to this: they have forgotten what God did for them. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. They have forgotten. And when that happens, oh, tragedy follows. Tragedy follows. Such forgetfulness leads on to great sin then. Now God repeatedly commands remembrance of his dealings with us. It's one of those words that occurs so many times in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, and the verse 15, this is what was commanded to Israel. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And in verse 2 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Remember, God says. Never let your thoughts stray far from what I have done for you. Wise was the hymn writer who penned the words, Jesus, keep me near the cross. We need never, must never leave the vicinity of the cross, that we might ever be reminded of what God has done for us. When you begin to drift, it begins to show. It begins to show. God says, remember me, and then keep the Sabbath day. You know, the Sabbath day is not kept today, men and women. It's a day in which we ought to worship the Lord, but it's not kept. It's a day of recreation. It's a day of all sorts of activities that have no place in a right and correctly ordered Sabbath. It's a day for touring around. It's a day for social engagements. It's a day for people to call and for us to call on people. And oftentimes it disturbs the right observance of the Sabbath day. I tell you, it is a forgetting of God. It's a forgetting of God, men and women. We forget God even in how we worship. In many churches today, there's bedlam before a service begins. Bedlam. They've forgotten what they're there to do. They've forgotten whose house it is. I have to say that.
What is the chit-chat that's filling the air? It's not about the Lord. It's about anything and everything. The common gossip.
Well, I'm not against such exchanges of information if it's kept within reason. But not in God's house on the Lord's day.
Let's get together over a cup of tea somewhere and we can talk till our jaws ache.
But the Sabbath day, the Lord wants us to devote to Him. We forget the Lord when we alter the form of worship that He has ordained. When we introduce all sorts of innovations. In many fundamentalist churches now, for instance, I think it's one of the most noticeable changes, the women do not wear hats. Don't wear hats. Now, where did that come from? Forgetting of the Lord. Forgetting of the Lord. Because a woman is to wear a hat because of the Lord. It's a sign of submission and meekness before the Lord. If men in this church were to start coming in just wearing their caps and their hats and whatnot, people would say, well, this is terrible. Yes, it would be terrible. Why? Because they would be forgetting the Lord. The man is to worship bareheaded out of respect for the Lord. The woman is to worship with her head covered. It's a token of submission to the role and the place that God has ordained for her. And there's that tendency to abandon that. It's creeping into the free church. It's creeping into the free church. There are services, still worship services. If we held an open-air meeting, I would expect every woman in this place to have her head covered. We're not in church, but we're at worship. And no matter where, the book is opened. And our hearts engage in communion with God in a public fashion. Then we ought to observe the proprieties God has laid down. Otherwise, we're guilty of forgetting the Lord. We're guilty of forgetting the Lord. There is a looking back that is essential to our well-being. Let me read two verses to you, two portions. First is in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 and 2. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. We are commanded, if we are to go on as Christians, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But you know, when you're looking unto Jesus, you will also look at what you once were. Because in His sacrifice, in His wounds, in His sufferings, is the most vivid reminder of your sins. That's why in Isaiah it says that, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. Look unto the rock from which you were hewn, and the pit from which you were digged. You're following after righteousness, but you'll not lose sight of what you come out of, what you wear. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2, says, and ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Don't forget what you wear, Christian. For if you forget what you were, you'll forget what the Lord has done for you. You'll forget what the Lord has done for you. You'll forget the cost at which you were delivered from that state in which you were. Wherefore, remember, it's an essential exercise for the child of God. How often in my lifetime I have heard Christians criticize someone. And if they could have read my thoughts, for I have said in my heart, don't you remember what you were before you were saved? Don't you remember what you did before you were saved? They'd forgotten, and forgetting, they were speaking harshly. Oh, I tell you, men and women, if we were just to remember what God has saved us from, we would in every department of grace be better Christians. We'll return to this study next week in the will of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer.